One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
Welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
We're a real life couple of comedians. And on Couples Therapy in quarantine, we talk to good friends and great comedians about relationships, love, and we answer your advice questions.
Ooh, that was so upbeat. I love it. It felt very infomercially, Andy.
Yes. Well, you know what? Also, you can buy a rake that doubles as a giant fork. Yes, the rake fork, only through couplestherapymerch.zow.
Andy's got a lot of energy, and that's probably because we have a dope-ass guest today, because I know I was flying high. You've already heard her voice. We are answering your relationship questions and talking to Nicole Byer. Baby girl, you know Nicole as the host of Nailed It on Netflix. You might know her from her podcasts Why Won't You Date Me, Best Friends with Sasheer Zamata, and Drag Her, a drag race podcast with Mano Agopian.
Yeah, and speaking of Byer, why don't you buy her book?
Hello.
Very Fat, Very Brave, out now.
So funny, so good, all Nicole. That is just a fact. Now, before we get to Nicole.
Nicole's both a good friend. And a great comedian.
Good friend, great comedian, great times.
When we meet her back in UCB.
Oh, like, yeah. Many moons ago. you guys.
Naomi just grabbed my leg to be like, shut up.
I'm trying to get to something. You stay interrupting me. Because I want to tell y'all real quick, every Wednesday at 2 p.m. PST, you can find us on Twitch. That is a wonderful hour where we take a break from the darkness. We have some goofs. We hang out with friends. You can watch for free, obviously, and join the CTQC, Couples Therapy Quarantine Crew, baby. Also, as we said, we'll be answering your relationship questions with Nicole, and we do that with so many of our guests. And what we would love are your questions. So please, 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 you can DM us on Instagram, DM us on Twitter, but the best is to call in, okay? You can hit us up at 323-524-7839 and leave a voicemail with your question and we will get to it, baby.
And you know what? In Quar, we're answering all types of questions.
Honey, you want to know about clothes. You want to know about houses. You want to know about moms. You want to know about boyfriends. You want to know about girlfriends. Honey, whatever you got, I'm going to answer.
Do you want to ask me about the spec Nightcrawler script
I have in my head?
No, you don't. Hey, Marvel Comics, I got a great story for Nightcrawler.
Honey, if it's in his head, it should stay there. Am I right? Hey, yo. Okay, guys, we're going to stop goofing and we're going to bring you Nicole.
Roll it.
That was whimsical, Nicole.
It was.
Thank you. Did I do it right? I think...
There's no wrong.
Doing things wrong.
Absolutely not.
Oh, yes, okay. I feel you on that vibe, Nicole.
Right?
That's like, yeah.
What's wrong? yesterday, I found out that, like, I don't know how to make tea. And this sounds, like, stupid, but... So somebody asked me for tea in my house, and I said, okay... And then I was like, well, I fill it up. So I filled up, and they're like, not all the way. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I filled it up halfway with the amount of water that I thought was needed. And then I was like, well, how do I know it's ready? And they're like, it'll make a noise. And I was like, well, that I know, but like, do I have to make sure everything is closed? And then you do.
Wait, so you don't know how to use a kettle is what you're saying?
I guess not. And I felt so dumb because I was like, it's easy. It's boiling water. It's so easy. But I like had so many questions. And then I brought them the tea and I left the tea bag out because that's how they serve it to you at a restaurant.
Right.
And then they were like, you could have put the tea bag in. I was like, but it's like a restaurant.
Well, that's on them for being lazy. They could have just put the tea bag in. But I feel you, Nicole. I don't think there's a lot of points of intersection for you and me. But the fear of doing things wrong is central to my being. And yeah. I feel you on that. I feel our souls shaking hands.
I'll when it tell comes you to that something feeling. Though. But do you let the feeling take over where you don't try a thing because you're like worried about doing it wrong?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm the exact opposite. I go, I think I'm going to be wrong and it's going to be bad, but I'm going to do it.
Right. Which is why you are good at improv, which is why you are.
But also a true stand up. It's like, let me go fuck something up and let's see what happens.
Yeah. Like, was it Albany? The crowd did not like Mateo Lane. And I was like, I think everything I'm going to do is wrong, and these people are going to hate me. And then I was like, okay, let's lean into that. And it was a terrible show. And I was like, I'm doing it wrong. I'm doing... But yeah, I always think I'm doing it wrong, but then I just do it.
But here's the thing. Does it haunt you afterwards? And because that's why I don't really do it, take a lot of risks, because the failures haunt me forever.
No, I got ADD. I'm on to the next thought. Truly, like I'm like embarrassed, and then I'm like, what's a chicken? How do they come? What comes first, an egg or a chicken? I just like move on super quickly.
That's true, though. I feel like that's what like keeps you. You know, I feel like you're a very like upbeat, not upbeat like in a fake way, but I feel like everything's fine in Nicole's world, in part because you don't like dwell on shit. Like nothing kind of, you know what I mean? Like you don't stew in it. You're not like, ooh, I'm still so mad about 2 years ago, which I do.
Well, sometimes I have a list of people who are bad, and one of them is like an improviser from New York whose name escapes me right now, but he did something and I was like, he's number one on my list. And then I don't remember what he's done, but I still don't like him.
Right.
And then another person on my list is a server from Giordano's Pizzeria in New York. Uh-huh. Or no, I'm sorry, in Chicago. And again, I think it was a very small thing where I was like, can I have club soda? And he's like, we don't have club soda. And I was like, you have club soda. And he was like, we don't have it. And I was like, seltzer water? And he's like, that we have. And I'm like, they're the same fucking thing. And then there was something that happened with pizza. And then I was like, Catherine, to my sister, I was like, I hate this man. And I still hate him to this day. I remember what he looks like. I hate him. I wrote on the receipt, I was like, you're the worst server.
No, you didn't.
I do not like you. I wish nothing for you and your family.
No, you
I mean, I tipped him 20%.
Right.
But like, right. That's what you have to do.
Yes.
But
of course.
He was so bad. I can't remember what he did though. But I hate
him. Can't remember what he did to the pizza, but you remember the hatred.
Yes. So that's how I hold things against people. I don't remember what you did, but I know I don't like you.
I have the same thing with movies. There are movies where I don't remember a thing about the movies. I just know that I either enjoyed it or didn't enjoy the experience. And that's what lingers. For you, grudges linger.
They sure do.
Nicole, really do. How has your quarantine been? Are you still... You do have a roommate, and that roommate does have a lover. Are you guys all in their Three's Company style?
We're all here, Three's Company. It's been nice. They went camping this weekend? On Friday? I don't know. Days run into each other.
Right, what are days? What is time?
And I was so... lonely. I watched Titanic twice.
What?
I was on television. So it was more than 2 hours. But I was just so lonely. So it's been very nice to have people. But, like, we're going crazy. We started watching Sex in the City, but instead of watching it straight through, John and I have been watching the first episode of the season and then the last episode of the season and going through all the seasons like that. And then you just have so many questions. Like, you're like, wait, where's Aiden? Wait, she's back with Big? Wait, she's not with Big? Now she's in Paris? It's like, it's so hard. So now we're watching the second episode and the second to last episode. And it's a nightmare. And I don't know why we're doing it this way. But every night we get really confused.
This isn't like a game. You aren't trying to like fill in the blanks yourself.
No, we're just watching these episodes and truly with like a glass of wine being like, wait, what?
So you're pretty much turning Sex and the City into Unsolved Mysteries.
Trying
to see if you can create a murder board of sorts.
Yes.
To connect the dots.
Yes.
Oh,
it's
my
been,
good
it's
Lord.
Been bizarre, but it's been fun.
I have a feeling like if historians are like trying to figure out our age and they are going through and trying to figure out at what point we all went insane,
it's
this
here,
is going to be evidence.
Yeah. I want to going outside is nice and fine, but it's not comforting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like yeah. these yep. everyone going yep. to restaurants right now, I'm like,
stressful
what is
fun.
The appeal?
I know.
Of like sitting there with your server in a mask and gloves, and then you go, thank you for protecting me and my food. And then you're not wearing a mask, and you're like ha-haing into people's faces, and you're like, you could be getting me sick. I don't know how people are doing it.
I know.
I saw a picture, and it genuinely looked like they were being served by a surgeon.
Well, that's exactly. I'm like, the restaurant looks like a fucking hospital. That's not fun.
Yes.
That
is
not a fun
hang.
I don't know.
I will say, I did go to one restaurant after a march, and we were outside. They wouldn't let us all sit together.
Okay. But
it was like fine, I think, because we were outside. And then we put our masks on when the server came to the table, which is a thing I don't think anyone's really doing. But I was like, I need to protect the server from me. I don't want them to get sick. I don't know if I'm...
The whole thing
is fucking wild.
Can you, like, get a free COVID test from Netflix, though? Like, could they send you a concierge doctor?
No. I mean, I haven't asked.
I feel like you have done so much for Ted Sarandos and his black wife that I feel like you're entitled to concierge medicine.
That is... very funny. Ted Sarandos, when I met him, I did not realize he was Ted Sarandos. And this is a running theme in my life where I just don't know what powerful people look like.
Yeah.
And he shook my hand, and it was so soft. I looked at him dead in the eyes, and I was like, your hands, they're so soft. Have you ever done work with your hands? And he was like, what? And I was like, they're just so soft. Do you even hold pencils? Like, do you hold things?
Jesus.
And he, like, thank God, laughed. But,
yes.
like...
Yeah.
And then, like, later someone was like, Nicole, that was Ted Sarandos. And I was like, oh, no. But his hands were so... When I tell you they were soft, it was nuts.
Soft like a billionaire. Soft like a billionaire.
Yes.
You were correct,
was like
and I expect
it. Touching a baby butt. It was so nice.
Naomi, what is your moment of going insane? Like, what was your moment where you felt like you were...
You mean last...
What is your Sex in the City opposite episodes moment?
Well, first, you and... Well, no. Okay, mine, you should know, is this past week when I started watching Shark Week, okay? I started watching Shark Week on Hulu. It's Shark Week all year round.
See, that doesn't strike me as particularly...
Be fucking with Shark Week like that. Like, give me the reruns. I'm usually watching murder shows, and this time I was like, show me a creature of the deep. And that is because there's nothing left. There's
Did
nothing
left. Did you
see
left. That video of an eagle scooping a shark out of the water and flying over a crowded beach?
Yes.
It was, no.
And
wait, you saw it and didn't tell me?
Bugging out.
I don't...
If you see,
oh, wow.
Andy, we ain't got shit to talk about. If you see some out of the ordinary shit, bring it to me.
Yeah, what the fuck do you guys talk about?
Great question, Nicole. Great question.
Like, what do couples talk about? Like, at least the couple in my house has a lunatic living with them. So I'm screaming and they can be like, oh, she's crazy. But yeah, what do you guys talk about?
Well, luckily, booking this podcast?
We read separate things. We watch separate things. We talk to different people and then report back.
I mean, not really, though. That's what I was literally, I said to him this morning. I made pancakes this morning because I was feeling fun.
Ooh.
And I was like, and then at some point I go, have you sent any new Marco Polos lately? That's where we're getting our information.
Oh, my God.
But I was feeling like, I was realizing this past week, too, one of the things I missed. I mean, obviously people and all that, but I was like, oh, I miss, like, gossip. You know, nothing real, but I miss just, like, getting little pearls of information.
Yes. That, I miss that, too. I miss shows. I really miss stand-up.
Well, I mean, come on.
I'm trying to figure out, okay, I, like, got real fucked up last night, and I was like, I need to figure out how to do a show in a park. And
that's what I've been thinking.
And I was
how do I
do a show in, like, Pan Pacific or something? And it's a huge park with, like, a good area. Where, like, and it's, like, good for, like, West Side, East Side. I'm like, yeah, like, a parking lot. But a park seems better because you sit on the grass.
Well, I think, I mean, because Andy's been talking about this, too, with, like, a drive-in and stuff. And I saw, actually, some pictures of another comic in New York who did a drive-in show. And the issue was, like, the lighting. You know what I mean? Like, she was in fucking black practice.
Well, that's not what I've been talking about. I've been talking about this is the thing. I don't have I'm not a producer. I don't have production. What you need is this. You need a PA, a microphone, and a parking lot in a business that's large enough in a business that is either closed or shut down after dark.
That's
right?
True. Yes. You can do
that's
parking all, lot.
That's what you need, and you need someone to put that all together. I don't want to put that all together.
Me no one either. Asked you to. You're coming in so hot. And it's like, no one told you. Because
I have the plan. I just need someone to enact the plan is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, Naomi, you asked me what my crazy... Where I went and started going insane. I think it was like 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in when we went and got takeout.
Oh,
Naomi, the trunk wouldn't open. She went and got the takeout and the trunk wouldn't open. So she went to go put the takeout in the back seat. And then
floor.
I locked the doors and wouldn't let her in the car until the takeout was in the trunk.
Explain it.
Oh, because the designated... contaminated area in our car was the trunk and no other place.
Nicole, you know, because the best place to lick is the floor of the back seat of your car to really get some good cocoa strain.
So I've been off the deep end since week, let's say, three.
Sure. That's some wild ass shit.
Yeah. Okay, Nicole, we're going to answer some relationship questions later. And I've heard of your podcast before. And this is something I was thinking of earlier. Have you learned anything from talking about romance and talking like to people you have dated, talking to friends of yours and about their relationships? Have you come away with anything?
Yeah, I think, and also therapy. I think I've learned that I can't, it's something that I'll never be able to control. And it'll happen one day and it's okay and I can't force it. I'm trying to let the universe take over.
Yes, 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 yes.
And then also, it's a game. It's all you have to play games. Ugh. Like men apparently don't like to be chased. So...
I know, but no, we were actually
chase them.
No, don't. I feel you on this. Like, we were talking to Brian Safi about this. Like, remember that book, The Rules, and like why men love bitches and shit? And it's like,
yes.
No, no, no. This is the thing. Anybody who's like a good person to date, you will not have to play the games. Stay true, Nicole. Stay true to you.
Yeah, but I'm just like, maybe, like, even if, like, to have, okay. I think you have to play games to be in a relationship that lasts longer than like a couple of months, even if that's not your person. Like, I'm tired of being alone. So it's like, I know you're not my person. So I'm just going to like play hard to get. So you keep chasing me and then like, maybe we'll be in a relationship. But then again, I guess it's like good to not waste your time on like someone who's not for you.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know. What an awful question. I don't know. I guess I've learned nothing.
I gotta say, I like being chased.
You like being chased?
Yeah.
Girl, who done chased you?
I'm not saying anyone has necessarily. I'm just saying. I'm just saying it makes me feel wanted. I enjoy it.
Well, I tell you when you're looking pretty.
Yeah.
And when you're smelling good.
I imagine, by the way, that I'm in like a bird cage and you walk by and you're just like, oh, you're looking very pretty. Your feathers are so pretty today, Andy.
That's
in essence, right? What is love if not having a pet? In a way.
Jesus.
In your heart. Like emotionally. Oh, wait, that came out wrong? Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
This
is my breaking point in quarantine. Do you still have your two dogs, Nicole?
Yeah, you didn't hear them just barking?
No, I was thinking about how I just wish you had an Instagram just for the dogs.
John has one. It's called Charlie Todd the Dog.
Okay, thank you so much for letting me know that. Everyone
You're
listening,
welcome.
Just you know where to go on Insta. You know we got a dog, and it was in part inspired by you and your two boys.
Oh, really? Wait, what is your dog's name?
Her name is Mabel.
Yes, Mabel.
A bitchy old lady.
Yes, I followed a story where someone accused Mabel of shitting all over a plane.
Yes. Yep, that was our...
Yeah, that happened.
JetBlue flight.
What is it?
JetBlue flight 359, New York to Burbank.
Yeah.
That's the flight, Nicole.
It's a funny story because a human being shat all over the bathroom and then you happen to walk in and then everyone's like, the dog did it. And you're like, wait, what? But also, like, who shits on a floor?
Exactly.
Well, if any of the flight attendants had an ounce of curiosity, an ounce of Columbo, an ounce of Murder, She Wrote Columbo. In them, they would have been like, oh, this is way too much shit for a small dog.
Yeah,
this is
dog.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But instead, they were I'm telling you, they were Republicans, all right? Because much like the rest of this country, they're happy just like putting the blame on the most vulnerable.
Yes, on the most vulnerable. Yes.
And that happens to be a young Morky in this case, all right?
An interracial couple and a Morky.
An interracial couple with
the most vulnerable.
A Jew, a black woman, and a Morky.
It's really funny.
And yes, I have a joke book that's entitled A Jew, a Black Woman, and a Morky.
Yes.
What's the opposite of bestseller? Worst seller.
There you go. A non-seller.
Yes. I think that's even more accurate. I had to pay to have the copies burned. Wait, Nicole, what was your longest relation?
I've never been in a real relationship.
Even like a hookup sitch? Like a continual hookup sitch?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not real. Mm-hmm. But, like, I've only really dated people for, like, a couple months. And then I hooked up with this dude on and off for, like, 3 years. So that's the longest. But he was bad. He was a bad potato. And he truly dickmatized me. It was such a fat cock.
Wow.
So girthy.
It was girthy, it was long, it was so big and wonderful, and then his balls were nice, and then it was attached to a fucking nightmare person. He was the fucking worst.
I'm trying to think if I've ever been...
Clitmatized? Is that the opposite? I don't know.
I don't think that's the opposite.
Have you ever been clitmatized?
I don't think that's the opposite.
Nope.
For a guy. Look, if that's the body part you're into, men or women,
the clit.
Go with God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if that's the thing if that's the thing that turns you on, period.
What are you saying? I'm so uncomfortable
Naomi,
talking.
He don't like your clit.
It's time to have an intervention, Naomi.
Wow. To wait until Nicole comes on the podcast to put this out here.
No, yours is lovely. It's not the thing that gets me going, I suppose.
Ew,
is the word.
Stop talking.
See, I'm so uncomfortable. One of the things I like about you so much, Nicole, is that you are so open.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so uncomfortable talking about anything. that is beyond smooching.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he calls it smooching. I don't really get uncomfortable often. I guess I get uncomfortable when people like ask me questions about like vulnerability, and I'm like, I don't know, dude, I'm a comedian. Like, you ever do like an NPR interview? Have you ever like done anything for NPR?
No.
They're like real obsessed with being like, but what's behind the clown? And you're like, I don't know. I would present that if that's what I wanted you to see.
Right.
I just try to make the people tee hee hee.
Right. I know.
No, I hear you. But what is behind the clown? No.
Oh my God. Sadness. Yeah, that shit makes me uncomfortable. I don't like talking about sad stuff.
But I was going to say, like, do you have people who you talk about it with? Or is it just for you? You know what I mean? Because I always wonder. I was like, can I get under Nicole? I was like, I want to get in the inner sanctum. That's what I said.
You mean in real life? Not in real life.
Yeah. No, in real life.
Yeah, in real life, I'll talk to you about anything.
Okay.
I choose not to put out.
Yes.
You know when people post like a picture of them crying and they're this is real life. And like, today was a bad day. And I'm like, cool. I don't, what? I didn't log on to Instagram to see you cry. No, go to therapy and cry.
Yes.
I mean, but that being said, I think it's okay to be like, I'm not having a good, like, I don't know. I think everyone doesn't have bad, like, I don't know. It's so weird that we're like normalizing that we cry. It's like everyone cries. It's fine. Yeah, I didn't need to see that on Instagram to be like, my crying matters. It's so weird. And yeah, I just choose not to put that shit out into the world. It's weird and it makes me feel weird.
Yeah. It's like, if it's the weird like marinization.
Marinization of interviews,
where it's just like, if someone's comfortable going there, it's one thing. It's another thing, like, out of the blue, you're talking about like your special or your new book or something like that, and they're like, so tell me, you know, what terrifies you?
Yeah, and it's like, and you're like, this interview, yeah.
You guys, that was a mind meld. I'm really proud
it
of you
really
guys.
Was.
You really found a moment there, and
we found
a moment there.
All of us are UCB trained, so you know.
Hell yeah, UCB. Will it ever come back? Who knows?
But like, Nicole, in relationships or like, you know, the dating game.
Yeah.
Do you find it hard for yourself to be vulnerable? You know, because again, it is that presentation of like the funny dynamic woman who's like cool, which is you, right? It's not a fake thing.
Yeah, no.
Versus the kind of, you know, the emotional vulnerability.
I mean, I'm not going to get super vulnerable to somebody, like, immediately. But I have, you know, asked for what I wanted. Like, I was dating this guy for a couple months, and he was, like, really bad at texting me back. And I was like, hey, I'm not chill, and I don't like I don't like spiraling out when you don't text me back. So like, you have to.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, and like, we were in bed, and then I was like, because I'm not chill, and I like balled my little hands up to like really reiterate that I was not chill. And then there was silence, and then he was like, because you're not chill. And he did the same thing. And I was like, is that how I did it? He was like, yeah. And I was like, I'm sorry. I just need this. And then he was very good. Like, after that conversation, he would send me texts like, I'm going to a movie with my mom. I will text you after. And I was like, thank you.
I mean, look, you are emotionally healthy, it seems. It seems you are very able to draw boundaries, right? Uh-huh. Right? Like,
I mean, it takes me a minute to get there because I'm like scared. I'm like, I feel like this is wrong to like tell someone that you like need things from them. Yeah. Especially like when you just start dating.
But even like your ability to be like, well, there's just some stuff I'm not going to talk about in public. Right.
Oh yeah.
I think that's like, you know, that's it seems pretty healthy. It seems like you have a,
Well, I feel like sometimes people get really obsessed with like, sad, like sad porn, where they're like, you're like, they were so sad, and I just like, I don't want to be a part of that. It's not for me.
Yeah.
But like, everyone's different. Maybe you love posting about being sad and talking about like sadness, but like, it's not for me. It's not it.
I hear that?
No, I mean as a joke, but like in my lowest moments, I don't want to actually like post a picture of me like on the ground sitting there.
you know, with trying to like get the cats to come over and comfort me. That's what it is. It's like who in. That's why I think I don't respond to it, because I'm like, if you was really that sad, you wouldn't be posting. You know what I mean? Like, to have like the wherewithal to create content.
Uh-huh.
I don't buy it. You're doing fucking fine.
Yeah. But also, it's like, go talk to the therapist. Like, is this a cry for help? Like, what am I supposed to do with the knowledge that you're so sad and tortured or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I can't hit the like button. That seems wrong.
What are you supposed to do? Like, yeah, like, I like your sadness. Like, it's weird.
Keep being sad. Wait, how long have you been seeing a therapist?
Oh, I've been in LA for 7 years, so probably 3.
Okay.
3? Yeah, I was like, my friend Marcy was like, I think you should get into therapy. You got issues. And I was like, I do have issues. And I found this nice woke white lady who sometimes will say things that didn't even occur to me about my blackness. And I really like her. I like, it's talk therapy. Since I have ADD, it's like, it's nice to take a minute to process stuff. Like, talk therapy takes a long time for you to like make like a different choice or like improving your life or whatever, but I like it.
That's good. We're very pro therapy on this show.
I know, I need a person, especially now in Rona. And I feel like it should be easier than ever, except they're not emailing me back. I think they're all so busy. You know what I mean?
Very busy.
One guy didn't write me back for 10 days, and he goes, great, we can have a consult this week. And I wrote him that same day, was like, here are my times, what do you have? And then haven't heard anything since. And I'm like, yeah, he just, you know, and I didn't even really want a guy. I was just like, I was looking for, he was like the only person to respond to me that I was like, okay, fine, you know? But I don't know. I got to go back to the Psychology Today website and just start scrolling through for some bitches.
Psychology Today.
That's what everyone says. Go to their website.
Is there any, I mean, without getting too deep, I know we don't want to go there, but is there anything that's come out about, because we're going to take a break and then answer some questions. Is there anything about romance that's come out that you're like, oh, cool, I'm going to pursue this now, or I'm going to change this about how I pursue dudes?
Not being as aggressive seems to be. There's a fine line between aggression and like scary. So I've been trying to like scale back as being as aggressive as I am. I do try to like listen more. Because I feel like, especially when you date like non-comedians, they're like fucking boring sometimes. So then you like zone out and then you're like, oh shit, they said something dumb. And then you're like, it's just like trying to like just really engage and be like, if I'm this bored, why am I still on this date?
Yes.
Like,
yes,
just yes. Like give you showed up. So just give yourself, like give them the time. You don't have to go out with them again.
Right.
So yeah, I've just been trying to be like respectful of people's time and be a little bit more mindful while dating. And then I'm like learning that it's not all about sex. You have to like the person attached.
You have to break the dick-gnosis?
Yes. Yeah.
You have to break it.
Yeah. And that's been interesting to, like, learn.
That's good, though. Better late than never, honey. Are you doing apps and Quar? Are you, like, messaging? Okay.
No. I think dating is a lot like stand-up and just, like, comedy and improv in general. I like feeling the vibe of the room. Like, I like to know how a set's going to go after saying the first two words of the set.
Yes.
And, like, video chatting is weird. Like, I've been interviewing people I don't know and why won't you date me? And it's, like, a weird thing to navigate, to be like, what is our rhythm? Who are we to each other? It's just, like, it's too much. And then, like, meeting someone, we might, like, vibe real well, like, right off the bat on FaceTime. But then, like, when we finally meet, it might be bad. Right. We might not have in-person chemistry. He might smell like a toad. Like, he just might be bad. Like, you know what I mean?
Where it's
like, I found you attractive on Zoom, but, like, in person, you are off. You're like a Kirkland brand something. You're slightly off.
A Kirkland brand something is real. A Kirkland brand something.
But that's a great idea for an app where you, once you vibe with someone, you send each other your smell.
No.
In the mail.
No. She just goes, no.
In the mail?
No.
Oh, Naomi, you figure out a better way to send someone your scent.
No.
Why don't we take a break and we'll be right back with some of your advice questions.
Hey, you guys, taking a quick break from Nicole Byer to tell you that Couples Therapy has a Patreon. If you want to support the show,
yeah,
you can go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
And you know what? If you want to support, it's not just you just throwing money at us. You get stuff in return. You get 2 bonus episodes a month. We put all the audio from all the Twitch shows up there, plus lots of other stuff. You will see the pilot for our Inside Caucasia show. Lots of other stuff.
Good times.
So go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod. Also, if you'd like to support the show by wearing
the show, you can get Couples Therapy t-shirts.
Yes, we got the Gotta Miss a Bitch, very popular Gotta Miss a Bitch t-shirt.
And the Couples Therapy logo shirt.
Yes, and go to couplestherapy.merchnow.com for that. Finally, we know times are tough. If you'd like to support the show, but you don't have any disposable income, you know what you can do?
Keep it simple, baby.
You can review the show on Apple Podcasts, rate it.
And subscribe. And tell other people to subscribe, okay?
Yes, make your friends. Grab your friends' phones. Grab your parents'
phones. Grab their phones. Make them subscribe. Make them leave 5-star reviews. Okay, you guys, that's all we got. Let's get back to Nicole. And we're back with Nicole Byer here to handle your scandal. Andy, give us that first relationship question. Oh.
Nicole, do you give advice often?
Yes. People ask for advice, and I'm always like, I'm single. I don't know why you're asking me for advice. Like, I don't fucking know. If I knew, I wouldn't be single.
You're a smart person. You've lived a life. You know, I think that's probably why.
The dry laughter of someone who has truly lived a life.
Yes.
All right. This comes to us. This is a voicemail. I always like to start out with like a softball. And this person specifically was hoping, Nicole, that you would answer the question. Okay. So, and this is an update. I think this is an update from, we gave this person advice back in, I think, Kalita Smith's episode.
Okay.
I think she was having trouble at her office. Her friend at her office was causing problems. And she was getting involved in it somehow. She was being looped in without her wanting to be looped in.
Okay. Okay.
So here we go.
Hey, you guys. Oh, my gosh. I love this podcast so much. This is your girl, Keely, from Nashville. I called in before with a relationship advice question. I wanted to give you an update. And if Nicole Byer talks about this voicemail, I will die. I died. I was dead and buried when you guys played my first question, and it was thrilling. So, update and a reminder if you need it. I mean, it's not like you've been doing anything else. Haha, kidding. So, I called before because my good Judy, my good friend, was causing some problems at our workplace.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And I'm also friends with my boss. And they were both talking about each other. It was stupid. And now my friend has transferred to a different location, which is great because he's very happy about it. My boss and I are getting on great, and I'm just so glad. And I did take your advice. I did not take the advice of poisoning anyone. Yeah. And here's a new question, relationship advice. During the quar, sometimes I want to murder my husband. Should I murder him or should I let him live? Thanks. Come to Nashville when it's safe to travel. Bye.
This woman is funny.
I know. She's my favorite.
So that's the question. To murder or not murder? Now, in the last question, I believe I was the one who suggested she poison her friend or her boss.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds like a classic Andy Beckerman suggestion.
That sounds like, let's pretend this was the Kalita Smith episode. That doesn't sound like something Kalita would say. That doesn't sound like something Naomi would say. Sounds like an Andy solution.
So do you want her to murder her husband?
Yeah, sure. I'm not part of this. Hold on.
Wait.
Am I legally responsible? If I say yes, am I legally responsible?
I mean, yeah, because they're going to do like a paper trail and then they're going to hear this lady's voice and be like, should I kill my husband? Come to Nashville. And you're going to be like, kill him. And then they're going to be like, yeah, he told her to kill
I'm not a guru.
Well, you know, she likes us a lot. So in some ways, perhaps you are a guru. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because she said she would die. She said she would be dead and buried if Nicole Byer waited on this.
Nicole, should she murder her husband?
No. You should be thanking the good Lord you have a man. No, I'm kidding. I mean, no, just take like a staycation. Like, go get an Airbnb down the street, wipe it down, and take a vacation from your husband. Mm. But then again, it's like, should we support Airbnb? It's bad.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
Also, very expensive in Nashville.
That's true. But that was a holiday weekend. Maybe in the middle of a pandemic, you can get a nice place
then
for
$50. Maybe go camping. Take a tent and camp in your backyard, if you have a backyard.
Yes, camp in your backyard. Like a kid. Like a child.
And if you don't have a backyard, camp in your living room and set up a tent and then just ignore your husband for a while.
What if I said, don't kill him, but poison him? Do you remember that Ukrainian politician who was like very handsome and then some Russian agent or someone poisoned him and he looked like he aged like 40 years.
And he turned blue. He turned blue gray. His skin permanently blue gray.
Yeah, he looked like he turned into.
Who is this?
Some Ukrainian politician that was poisoned.
You have to look him up.
Ukrainian?
Say look up poisoned.
Ukrainian politician. Anyway, do that. I'm saying this in quotes so that it's not actionable.
Wow. This happened in 2018?
Did it? Was it that recent?
Oh, no. He looks not great.
I know. He survived a poisoning.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy?
This is nuts.
I know.
I don't want to get poisoned. Don't poison. She can't poison her husband. Andy, that was bad. Nobody deserves to be poisoned. Imagine getting poisoned. You eat something yummy. And then whoever served it to you went, soon you're going to die. And you're like, wait, but that was delicious. Why would you do that?
But see, the thing is, people who aren't even sophisticated, a couple days ago, I made one of my apple waters, which is apple juice and water. It's a personal beverage of choice.
Apple juice is too strong for her.
Too sweet, too sweet. And so
you put water in it?
Yeah, I do two ice cubes, some cold water, and now you've got like a lightly sweetened juice. I think
fair.
All juices should be lightly sweetened.
I think that would probably work for me. I loved watered down milk, which is weird.
Really?
When I was little, I would be like, milk is too thick. And then once I put milk in a glass that had just been freshly washed, so it droplets.
Yeah.
And then I tasted like the top had some water and I was like, this is better. So then I started like mixing milk with water.
I love it.
And that's how I would drink it. And I love it. Some people think it's weird, but then I was like, but then that's just like skim milk.
Right. I was going to say
skim. But I love water and skim milk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm gross.
So it's just like a cloudy water at that
kind
point.
Kind of.
Wait, you were about to drag Naomi for the apple water.
I know, but then I thought about it and I was I think I would love it. I think I took issue with the name apple water.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I understand that. I understand that. I've never said that out loud to someone who's not Andy, so it's fine. But my point being, I was drinking something and I was like, this tastes weird. Like I did, and then I was like, ooh. And then I put it down. And then like a minute later, I took another sip. And then I realized, you don't have to drink this. And that's what I always wonder with somebody been poisoned.
Yes.
It's like, because like, it's not always sophisticated. It's not always odorless, colorless. No. And it's amazing how many of us will be like, something's off as you just continue to shovel it in your mouth.
I mean, it's my whole job. I nailed it. To go, something is wrong. Something's afoot. And then you're like, should I eat another bite of it?
Right.
There's one time when I first became vegetarian, I went with my parents to this Chinese restaurant that also served like fake meat. Mm-hmm. And someone at our table, like one of my sister's friends, I was eating some like fake, I don't know, sesame chicken. And they were like, oh, I don't think that's actually fake meat. I think that's real meat. So I went to the bathroom and made myself throw up.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
And then I got back to the table and she's like, I was wrong.
Wait, why not just let the meat stay in your body?
I felt like I... Look, here's the thing. By the way, when I say poison or murder someone, I'm not serious. I don't think anyone should be killed or like anyone at all. I killed a fly today, and I apologized to it as I was killing it.
Wait.
That's...
Why did you throw up the meat?
Because I thought it was... I had also, like... I remember I had just become vegetarian, like, maybe, like... a year before this, and I had heard that like if you get sick, if you like you lose some kind of enzyme or something like that, and you'll get sick if you eat meat. I don't know if that's true or not. I had that in my head, so I went, made myself throw up, got back to the table, and she's like, "Well, my bad."
I can't believe you listened to her.
But why not just let the meat stay in you?
He was afraid he was gonna have diarrheas.
But
Nicole, you've known me. I know we're not like bosom buddies, but you've known me for a long time. We've been talking. What about me screams I am mentally healthy?
I just let it stay in you. I just can't.
I hear you.
I think it's like because I make. I think it comes back to like. I'm like, I'll make a mistake and then go, oops. And then that's the mistake. Wait, are you still a vegetarian?
I am, yes.
Naomi, are you a vegetarian?
No, I'm not.
I'm a vegetarian now.
Since when?
Since May 15th.
What happened?
Well, I saw that like vegans and like vegetarians have better skin. So I was like, I'll do that. But I think I really need to, like, give up dairy. I think dairy is, like, the culprit here.
Yeah. Even if you water it down. Even if you water it down. Yeah.
But my skin has, like, cleared up a little bit, which I was like, ooh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But, like, what are good meat alternatives? I've been having trouble with this. That aren't, like, jam-packed with salt. Like, frozen meat alternatives have a lot of salt in them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, there's none. They're all... to like, try to... replicate that. I would say just don't reduce the amount of fake meat you eat.
Mm.
Right? Do a lot more. A lot of We do a lot of like stuff that has like roasted broccoli in it, a lot of risotto, a lot of flatbread with spinach, pasta dishes with chopped up vegetables in it.
And I find that like, I found just in the bit I've tasted, right? Like, I don't like vegan, like a cheese slice. You know what I mean? Like a Daiya, like put that on a burger. Yeah. But cashew cheese, like the nut stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a good. So you can put that like in a pasta and you won't feel like you eating plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I made vegan mac and cheese once and it was like not bad.
Huh.
It was like pretty good. It was cashew mac and cheese.
Exactly.
And then like, I put it in the oven and put some bread crumbies on. It was like very good.
Oh, you know what might be good? Quorn. Q-U-O-R-N. It's like Quorn. Made out of this mushroom protein.
Oh, okay. I like Satan.
Yeah.
I think it's good. Yeah. I make little street meat pitas with it.
Ooh.
Yes. Nice. And then there's this spice called like Ras An El Handout. I don't know. Yep. Something weird.
Yes. I know you're talking about.
It tastes just like street meat. I love it.
Yeah.
And put some like little yogurt on it.
How much? Also, where are you at with eggs? Because I feel like, too, that's like my go-to way to protein it up.
I still eat eggs. So I'm I like to say
vegan, but I'm saying like you like them because then you put that on steak. You know what I'm saying?
Love eggs.
Exactly.
Yes,
like I scramble that on top of something and now it's like, because I don't cook meat in the house really. Because it's like, usually if I buy something, you know, I'd have to eat it right away or I put it in the freezer and fucking forget. So usually like whatever we're doing, I'll just be like, scramble an egg. No, I'm good to go.
Why don't we try this question? This comes to us anonymous. From an Instagram direct message.
Uh-oh, this is a long one. Whenever it's like multiple paragraphs, I'm like, we're about to go on a journey.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Andy and Naomi, and guest question mark? Nicole Byer, perhaps? Question mark, exclamation mark? Long-time listener, first-time caller. I hope you can offer some advice about moving and adjusting to a new place. I was inspired by your New Year's resolution a few months ago to stop talking shit about LA.
Yes.
We, at the top of the year, we were like, we're boring. We're boring our friends. We are boring each other. Let's just stop fucking talking shit about this town and just like learn to love it.
Do you love it?
In the pandemic, it's wonderful. There's no people out. And that's what makes this town suck. The people.
I love LA. It took me a minute, but I was like, when I finally stopped shitting on it, it was finally like, you're never moving back to New York. Deal with this. I was like, okay.
Wait, where are you from originally?
New Jersey. You New can't Jersey. Hear the trash in my voice. Jersey girl.
Oh, my trash. God.
Okay. Back to the letter. I made a similar goal to stop saying I hate Illinois. Back in August, I left the lovely Jersey Shore.
Jersey girl.
For the bland cornfields of Illinois to be with my partner. I moved around a bunch all through my 20s and adjusted easily, but I guess since this is a bit more permanent, I just feel stuck. We're very happy together. It made the most sense for me to move here, but I have been so miserable and sad here. I hate it. Back in New Jersey, I had a great D&D group, a job I loved, all my friends, my family, a social life. You get the idea. Out here, I've had a hard time meeting new people since I lived in bland, conservative suburbs.
D&D.
Dungeons and Dragons.
I thought it was Dunkin' Donuts. And I was like,
a good Dunkin' Donuts group.
What?
We meet at the donut shop.
Oh,
yeah, we meet.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Keep going.
Roll D20 for sprinkles. Does that make sense? It's been a long time since I played D&D. she's a bit removed from everything. Everyone smokes. Everyone smokes. Gross. I have asthma. I hate my job. I'm just having a really hard time adjusting. I'm so miserable and stressed between work and loneliness that the discs in my jaw slipped and I can't really chew much for the next couple of months while it gets fixed.
Okay.
What? I know stuff sucks because of the pandemic, but I don't know what to do in the meantime. Honestly, I was having a hard time meeting people and finding things to do early this year. So, I mean, how much can we really blame on the pandemic? My partner said, quote, it's just going to suck till next year. His friends all smoke a lot, so it's hard to be around them. And in the before times, he said, quote, I needed to find things to do on my own. So no help there. I keep suggesting maybe we move somewhere with more going on, but he's not interested.
Ugh.
Ugh. The height of entertainment around here is watching possums and squirrels.
Ooh.
I'm just super sad, miss my friends and old life, miss New Jersey. Yeah.
Oh, God.
What is, wait, what's the question? It just seems like they're sad.
It cuts off. So what? I think they want to know what to do. I can go
Oh, my God.
Personally, that sounds hellish. And I don't think anyone is worth being miserable.
Yeah.
I think you can have a happy medium where, like, you move to Chicago, maybe. Or, like, close. If you're close to Chicago, you can spend time in Chicago. But then again, like she says, cornfields, it might be like hours away.
Right.
I don't
know.
To me, that's hard. I mean, during a pandemic, yeah, it's going to be really tough to like find friends.
Right.
But maybe you move your Dungeons and Dragons group from Jersey online and you play with them that way.
Yeah.
I
know.
I hate to sound bleak, but.
I mean,
getting out there,
it's like hard, right? Like, there really isn't much you can do now, even though I would imagine it's easier to social distance in a fucking cornfield.
Yeah.
I'll go sit by the scarecrow. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, maybe you can get together. But, you know, if you have your own car and the ability to get around, and this partner is saying, you need to do stuff on your own,
mm-hmm.
get in that fucking car and drive, girl.
Yeah.
Thelma and Louise style.
Yeah, like. I don't Google like pretty places to drive to,
right.
and then drive to the place and maybe take a yoga mat and do some yoga outside.
Yeah, I think the question too, like the reason why this question for me is harder, other than D&D, I don't know what else this person likes. Because basically, I would just say you got to lean into that. Whatever, what's the stuff that actually makes you happy?
Mm-hmm.
You know the answer. You need to do that because you know it's true. Like, because here's what's gonna happen. You're going to resent your partner after a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's about to be, because it's almost a year, right? Because they're saying they moved in August.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, again, true, the pandemic fucked it up for us. But as you said, before that, you weren't doing stuff. But it's like you know, it's never your partner's job to entertain you, pandemic or
mm-hmm.
not. So you got to figure out.
Yeah.
What can be done. Now, the other question, though, is what I need to know about whether or not the relationship is worth staying in is how is the partner responding to you having problems?
Yeah, that's the...
And then also, like, they can ask their friends to not smoke around you.
That's what I think.
It seems rude.
Yeah, very rude.
Yeah. Especially, it's like, I have a literal health condition.
Yeah.
But this is not just, like, the smell. It's like, even though that's also... fucking real too, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want like my house to smell like smoke, but
yeah. So now you guys are going deeper and being like, is this person right?
Well, it's not even deep. I was like, is this person worth being miserable? I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. If things were fine and there was one minor thing, I wouldn't be focusing on it. But
yeah,
if you hate, all you can do is make friends with a goddamn squirrel like Cinderella. It's like, maybe it's not the one. Is that too harsh, Andy?
I don't think it's too harsh. Usually we try to read these with empathy. I don't think it's too harsh because the person they're quoting their BF, their partner.
Right. It's just going to suck till next year.
And that to...
And you need to find things to do on your own.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. If it depends on how you read that, right? If it could be that, like, she's miserable, they're miserable, and just around the house all the time, and the partner sees that and says these things, and this is their interpretation of that, or this is, you know, they're writing it in a DM, so they're cutting out all the other stuff.
Right,
like,
right.
I love you, but
right, you gotta.
Right. But if that's just what the partner is saying, that feels like that's not great.
Well, I think it's a couple things, because here's the thing that I guess, and again, these things can be overcome, but it is both the friend smoking and your partner not mm-hmm. doing anything about it. And then also, like, you want to move somewhere with more activity and your partner doesn't. And so that feels to me like one of those, you know, some people are city, some people are country.
Yeah.
And it just feels to me like one of those where it's like, I don't know if you can really get over that. Like, if one person mm-hmm. just needs more action, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, my advice is break up with your partner. Move back to Jersey and, you know, Get, like, there's somebody out there who likes the things that you like. Well, I need to know what they like about their partner.
Right. Yes. I know. That's always the problem.
I need more.
When
they write
ask
you more, let me know. Because I don't have, I truly don't have, like, advice.
Right.
Because I, like, right now it's like, I think your partner's bad for you. I think your partner's going to murder you with cigarette smoke and you're not going to be able to breathe. And COVID is a respiratory infection. And you know, it's like, you need to live, bitch, and breathe.
Right.
Get out. Jordan Peele's Get Out, okay? I think you need to get out.
Also, can you play, now that everyone's online, doing everything online, play with your old D&D group on Zoom or something.
Right, that's what Nicole was saying. It's like, maybe that's a way. Because I do wonder, depending on how much they're interacting with their old friends, you know, sometimes, like, once you start talking to people, you're like, oh, I'm fine. I just needed to let it out.
Yes.
But, so maybe, right? But then also sometimes you start talking to people, you're like, okay, no, this is where I need to be. This is where my heart comes alive. Yeah. Like, that will help you answer that question if you can, like, talk to your friends.
Let's do one more.
Okay.
This is, Naomi, maybe you should read this one. It's number one on the...
Okay. I recently ended my relationship of nearly 8 years because my boyfriend wouldn't commit. Way too many problems, not enough therapy, girl, bye, is what they said.
Okay.
Moving on, and I hope this isn't weird, but I'm really attracted to black men. I live in an area that is predominantly white, and frankly, I'm done with the whites. Naomi's pronunciation is trying to win me back. My question for you is a unique one. How do I meet more diverse men? Do I have to move? Do black men even want to date white women like me?
Yeah.
I don't blame them if they do. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Nicole.
Yeah, they want you.
I don't blame them if they don't, but I really want to be part of an IRC. Wishing you all the best in safety and health during this quarantine. Love you both. It's like hard when someone's a fan of me, but then I also have problems with that.
I mean, all the words that were typed out, I was like, why? I was like, do you not have the internet? Like, of course black men date white women. If anything, they love white women. Get on a fucking app. Get up, what are you doing? I guess she's been in a relationship for 8 years, so it's
she's got out of a relationship, so apps
were not around. When
swipe on black people and you'll match with one and you'll find it.
Right.
You don't have to write into a podcast to talk about your weird fantasy of being in an interracial relationship.
I would say also, just to start out from blackness, please correct me if I'm wrong. Not monolithic.
Well, yes.
I would say, like, the idea of, like, do black men like white women in general is not the right question to ask.
Well, also, the thing I'm taking issue with is I really want to be part of an interracial couple. That is not, like,
it's
a person.
Weird.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, you want to look. Like, you what you're saying is you want to go to Afropunk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like you want that moment.
Yeah, it's weird because it feels like it's not only fetishizing, it's objectifying.
Yes.
And it's like, as opposed to just saying I want to be in a healthy relationship, and if it happens to be a black man, like, what a treat. But
Or even just the question of, how do I live in a white area, how do I go about meeting people who aren't white? That even, you know, and again, we would say apps, but that's also a different question.
It is a different question, and it's also like, how dare you ask a black person how to meet more black people? It's not your fucking job to teach white people how to, you know, get across the ocean to Africa.
Honey, I'm trying to meet more black people. Shit.
God damn it. Fucked up. This person is not it for me. It's in poor taste. She's behaving poorly. But truly, like, it's just get on a fucking app and only swipe right on black people. And, like, if that's what you're trying to do,
go to a Nation of Islam meeting.
Yeah, also, like,
Look up the census and see where the blacks are. And then, I don't know, walk around.
Look up the 2018 census.
Yeah, and take a ride.
Where they are. Yeah, babe. You got to do a lot of work within and without before you can take a lover of another color.
Yeah, yes. I worry about the black man that she's going to get
exactly.
with.
That's what I mean.
It's like, you don't, beware. The black people, beware.
That's another Jordan Peele's Get Out. That's certainly Jordan Peele's Get Out.
Jordan Peele's black people, beware.
That's actually not a bad idea for a movie.
Black people, beware. And it's just someone living in the world. just a real indie mumblecore.
Like following somebody around. There's no linear storyline. It's just like, black people, beware.
Okay, hold on. If there's any advice, I would say maybe take a beat. Ask yourself why that is something. Why the idea of just bare diversity? Because I think this is a very, like, this is liberal. This is like a very important thing in liberal circles is diversity. You know, you see it a lot in Hollywood, which is like,
brown,
we want,
for the sake of brown.
Right. We just want a brown person in this writer's room. I don't give a shit if they are funny or not. Just put a brown person there. Or like just for the, I call it like, you know, brown for the Twitter photo or whatever.
Oh, see, I call it black for the brochure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
You know?
When they show the photo
like
of
college
the
college campus.
Yes, the college campus. And it's
one black person who's the happiest there.
Loving life.
Yeah. Like look what happened when, what was the, what's that show with Sandra Oh on it?
Grey's Anatomy.
No, the other one. The
Killing Eve.
Killing Eve.
Look what happened when they showed the Killing Eve writer's room and it was like printer paper white. Like, it was just, it was so white that when I was scrolling on Twitter, the screen blinded me for a second.
Right. So bright, so bright.
And people
drag them.
They should, rightfully so. It's so fucked up. Like, because as a black person, you constantly hear people going, ugh, they went with a diversity hire. And I had to have a conversation with my friend who is a character actor or would be considered that. And they were like, they have a hard time booking work in side roles because they usually go to black people. And I said to them, I was like, I don't think it's a diversity hire. I think if maybe one of the leads was a person of color, that would open up opportunities for you as a character actor to get work. But until there's change in the like leads of a show, sorry, buddy, it's not my fault. It's the
system's fault.
The systemic whiteness's fault.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like people don't get it until it's explained that like systemic racism affects you.
Exactly.
Then you get all these like little white dudes walking around being like, I can't get a job because they keep hiring diverse people. And it's like, well, look at the Killing Eve writer's room. There were no diverse people. There was no inclusion there.
But
and
also
then
like,
you're not going to get that job. Because a diversity hire is free to a show. No. And then they drop them after they have to start paying them.
Yes.
So, like, it's fucked.
Well, it's also, like, to me, the thing I can't stand, and, like, you know, I think it's just because I just feel more at home as a performer anyway. But I don't like to take a lot of writing jobs for that reason because I don't want to be the one black person in the room. There needs to be a fucking buddy system. If you hire one black person, you need a second one. Because the problem fucking is, I'm in that room. You hired me allegedly for a black experience, which you didn't. But then when I speak from that black experience, you're like, I don't think that'll work.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable. Because there's nobody else in there to say, like, yes, this is real. Yes, this makes sense. It's got to be a buddy system. It's got to be two hires.
I think so, because you can't just have one voice for all of the black people.
Exactly.
It's so, man, I could talk about this all day.
So can I. I mean, literally, I just feel like in the last month especially, and that's what I'm saying, like, looking for, like, I was like, I need to be, like, talking to black people, talking to black women, because especially in my comedy circle, I don't have as many black friends. You know what I mean? Like, I know some of the dudes, but not a lot of women. Yeah. And I wonder if that's just because, and I was thinking about it too, because it's not like there are not a lot of black women stand-ups, but I wonder if it's because I coming up in New York through the improv world, as opposed to like the comedy club world.
Yeah, you I mean, that might folks. Be. But then there's like so many black stand-ups who are so fucking good who just can't seem to get ahead.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm like, what the fuck is that shit?
Yes.
Like the fact that Adele Gibbons doesn't have her own television series is like crazy to me. She's been funny since like 1982. Like,
right.
She's
right.
so, like, the queens of comedy are so funny. And then the kings of comedy, you know, Bernie Mac had his own show. Steve Harvey's had many iterations of his show. Cedric the Entertainer has had shows, but I'm like, but like, they were no different. Why are black women so fucking disrespected?
I know.
Why do we fight to get anything?
Nicole, you know, my stand up agent dropped me in January.
Wait, what?
We didn't talk. I don't have a stand up agent, Nicole.
Why?
Right after she got a special with Conan O'Brien, by the way.
Like a 15 minute, like he was.
That's,
you know, like,
really bonkers to me.
Well, and I'll tell you where it all started. And I don't care. Andy, I say it on the fucking record. I say it on the goddamn record.
The best is you going, I'll say it on the record with your hair looking like that.
Nicole, I say like, it on the record.
Truly like a crackhead coming out.
I tell you something. So what you're saying is I do look like an extra from Friday.
You truly do. Bye, Felicia. It's funny.
So maybe this is why I don't have an agent.
Quiet for a long time, but I gotta say, it has been a true treat and delight to stare at you like this.
It's honestly a true treat and delight to be able to show someone this. You know what I mean? Someone who understands. It's a journey.
I love it.
And
okay,
you know,
so what happened with your stand-up agent? This is
so basically
to
like, so at towards the end of last year, so like October, November, I find out. I have two different gigs, road gigs. One of them had been in May, so it was already over. And then the other one I was about to do, but I was talking to another stand-up who had done the same gig, you know, because they were, like, you know, changing out people. And I was, like, asking her about it, and she was like, oh, it's just, like, a fun cash grab. And I go, cash grab? And then they're making, like, double digits for this show. The same set, the same. And then I find out, oh, no, they're making double digits. And meanwhile, I'm getting paid $2,700 and I have to fly myself there.
What?
And
let me just say, Naomi and this other stand-up are of the same level.
Yeah, right?
There's no reason why they should get paid more based on credits or anything else like that.
Uh-huh.
And then I had done another one, like the May show, I was at, like, I was performing, and it was actually at my college, right? My alma mater. And then afterwards I find out from the booker where it was like, hey, I'm sorry you didn't get the same as so-and-so. You know, everybody loved you and da-da-da. And I didn't even know that shit. And we were both at the same agency, me and the other comic.
Damn.
So, and I had also not been feeling my agent for a while because I just felt like he was just kind of old school. I was like, give me smaller venues. Let's play alt shows. Let's do stuff that's not, you know, comedy club because I can't fill him for 5 days. I can't.
Uh-huh.
And so, and I just kept trying. He wasn't paying attention. Whatever. So then, when I found those two things out, I was like, oh, no, absolutely not. So, like, around end November, I'm like, part ways. But I was like, okay, I'll talk to someone else at the agency, right? Like, it's, we don't have to blow it up. I just think it's not a good fit. Then they're like, I was like, hey, let's get a meeting. Push me off. And then, like, well, the holidays, whatever. Come back from the holidays, January. They're like, they no longer want to represent you for comedy. Instead of letting me meet with someone else, they decided they don't want to represent me at all.
I mean, you don't have to say it on record, but what's the agency?
UTA. Yeah.
That's fucked.
Yeah.
Naomi, I'm so sorry. Like, that's fucked up.
Thanks, friend. Thank you for validating that. It helps me to hear that from someone else who is also a black lady comedian. Because, of course, it's like, I now don't have anybody. And then the question is, did I make the wrong choice? But then, like, lately,
no.
I'm sorry, Andy. You okay, girl? Because we just into it now.
I'm happy. I'm happy listening to, because, like, I, you know, as the person who
hears
is like,
all of it.
You are, no, I hear all this and I'm like, you are right. Like, obviously, me validating you isn't the same thing. If, like, it was about a, like, how much money to get in a writer's room. But even then, you have more experience than me in writer's rooms. But, like, if it was a writer thing,
yeah.
I could, like, it would be like, oh, yes, Andy knows where I'm coming from. But, like, to be validated by another black woman stand-up is a different...
One of the best in the game, no less. True. You know what I mean? Because
please.
Well, no, because it is funny,
true.
Too.
No, Nicole, we're not blowing smoke up your butthole.
Because...
It is like just interesting too, because like lately people, I feel like I've gotten this uptick in audience and followers on like socials and people looking at stuff where it's so funny to be like, am I about to pop off during a pandemic? But that feeling of like,
I mean, you might. Two Dumb Queen video that was being passed around a couple weeks ago. I was like, it's so funny how relevant this still is. I was like, good God. You're so funny. Like, we did a show at Largo and you were so, you like tuckered the crowd out. Like, you were just so funny. It was a real treat. It's always a treat to watch you. And you like should be making all of the money. It's crazy. Like, it's truly crazy to me that
I love to hear
that your agent was lowball. Cause it's like, what? So your agent, honestly, this means they probably asked for you. Your agent didn't pitch you. And then he just settled for whatever the first offer was, as opposed to pitching you, then being excited about you, and then asking for like a decent amount of money.
Exactly.
You shouldn't have had to pay for a plane ticket for that.
Right.
And you should have been paid a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like so, it's so wild. And it's like, and now I think lately, obviously given everything going on, now I'm talking about it publicly, like here's my, but like I'm just saying it without feeling like afraid, because I kind of just feel like, you know, trying to, what am I doing protecting them?
Mm-hmm.
What do I gain out of keeping they names out my mouth? That only helps them.
Yeah.
So I might as well be honest about it. And hey, I think you can only get a job when you tell people you need a job. So I just be like, I need an agent. Anyone? Anyone?
Yeah. It's so wild that like an agent can be the one who gets you an opportunity or stops your opportunity.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. But I just, I'm glad we got to discuss.
Yes, same.
So our advice for one, blackness is not monolithic. So thinking of black men as a entire group, Adolf Reed, I believe, was talking about this when he was talking about Democrats thinking that there is just the quote unquote black vote as opposed to many different black constituencies. Ugh. Like maybe you should be talking to different black constituencies as opposed to just thinking of all black people as the black vote.
So you need to talk to different romantic constituencies, okay?
Yes, there are different romantic constituencies.
And you also, I think, need to like do some, you know, if you're in a predominantly white area and you don't know, you need to just like learn some shit first before you get romantic with anybody.
Yes. Yeah, like look up, do some research.
Honey, Google's free now.
I didn't know Google was free now.
Google's free now.
Google's free now.
Nicole, thank you so much for doing
this podcast. Thank you for having me. It was a delight, a treat. Maybe, well, I just threw away all of my outdoor furniture because I'm crazy and was like, the only place you could sit is outside during a pandemic. Let me get rid of it. But when I get new outdoor furniture, you guys should come over for a social distance hang and drink wine.
I would love to be distant. I will sit on one end of the pool with my feet in.
Yes. I don't, is swimming okay during a pandemic? I haven't had anyone over to swim because I'm like, I don't know.
I know what you mean. I wouldn't necessarily go swim, even though I read that the swimming itself is okay, especially if you've got your chlorine going.
Dude.
But I would just like want to dip my feet in cold water.
Okay.
Thanks again, Nicole.
Thank you.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.